are glad Lori's back to keep us on track and to give us Vart noises. If you ask her nicely, maybe she'll do it for the third straight hour. We'll see. But we'll see if we can schedule it in. We got Study a Duck coming up and a Dirt Alert, so I don't know if there's a lot of time for Vart noises.
Who knows, Rocco? Yeah. You know, I can't be on demand with these types of situations.
You can't?
Not really.
All right. What do we got?
Did you and Brittany discuss Julianna Rancic stepping down from E! As the red carpet? So this Oscars, which she actually did great with this last Oscars.
I thought she did great, too.
Of course, it was very few people. Mm-hmm. So she had all the time in the world. But I kind of was like, I'm going to miss Julianna.
I totally am going to miss her. I think Laverne Cox will do excellent.
Is that who's going to replace
Laverne
her?
Laverne Cox is going to replace her. I like Julianna. I feel like
big misstep the year.
Zendaya.
Yeah, and she's like, she looks like her hair smells like patchouli. But, you know, she apologized right away for it and stuff. And then Kelly Osbourne was so busy going down in flames with whatever stupid thing she did. But so Julianna is, I mean,
she's going to do producing for E! I mean, think of E! How they have just, there's nothing left.
Yeah, you're right.
There is nothing left on E!
Well, that's NBC.
Yeah, there is nothing left. So they have to revamp the whole thing or figure out what they did. I thought when they did some scripted stuff like the Royals that they did, we love that.
Mm-hmm.
They had some good things, but there is nothing left there. So I think, you know, Jamie Kennedy got fired and they've had a lot of controversy over the past 4 or 5 years. I think they have to rethink what they're going to do, and she's going to do some producing.
All right.
And I hope she makes Bill Rancic, her husband's book that we loved, into a movie. Remember about the one in the plane crash in Alaska?
Oh, yeah. That was
Frozen.
A good book. Yeah.
That was such a great book.
It was.
So, maybe she'll get into doing that.
Maybe. Okay. So that's...
I was sad about that, too, because I felt like...
Well, she's done it for 20 years. Yeah. She's done it since she was like...
Change is hard.
Yeah.
And she kind of was our only, the last one after Joan and Melissa are gone and all the Fashion Police people and... Nancy O'Dell is out of it.
Ryan's gone, even though he was bad. Yep. He was getting so bad.
So it just is like a whole change. And you kind of wonder what it's going to look like, what it's going to act like, what it's going to be. And then you have a award show that's completely canceled.
They need us. This is what somebody needs to realize.
Oh, Lori, I love you. I love you because we won't remember their names. We won't remember who they are, but
keeping
they
it
need
real.
Us.
Keeping it real.
We're like the rest of America. We don't know who you are or what you started, but boy, you look good.
Right.
Come talk to us, right? This is all we got for you.
Okay, then did you talk about
Nick Jonas?
No. Why would Nick Jonas come up?
Because apparently his new song, Spaceman, is on a lot of people's bedroom sexy time music list.
I don't believe that for a second. It's not on...
It's not on his, though, he wants you to know.
No, it is
and
not.
He blushes being thought of as a sex symbol.
That was bad. That was his first signal. We played it, Rocco. All three of us were just like...
I know.
We were not into this. I don't believe that's a sex jam. That is a space rumor.
He's thrilled that people have it on their bedroom playlist, but it's not on his. And he wants to go and say that that he's uncomfortable with being thought of as a sex symbol.
Well, don't worry. You're not.
Okay. Yeah, pretend you're on the sex swing. What do we call it? The screamer?
The screamer.
And then
we're going to listen to this. And I pray that was what I
out of nowhere
out of Lori the whole time. I'm thinking that both legs are off the floor, and I'm like, whose body could handle that weight of swinging and just not having feet on the floor? And then Brittany finally, as we're almost through whatever I was trying to say, is like, Julia, don't you get it that your feet are on the floor?
Right.
And I just was like, oh my word, I was so dense yesterday. And then we started thinking, it was just crazy. But that's not a bad song. It feels
it's not sexy.
Well, I don't. Who listens to the words?
Okay, but he says "spaceman" like 50 times. Don't try and make that a thing happen, Nick. And don't worry about being a sex symbol to too many people. I think your secret is pretty safe.
Was there a space room at the Fanta Suites in Burnsville?
I'm sure that there was. Been good. I never went there because the thought of going to a hotel that is designed specifically for sex fantasy nights. Themed sex fantasy nights sounds
at a motel that overlooks the freeway.
So dirty to me. Like they couldn't clean well enough to make it be sexy.
Yeah.
I mean, remember those Geiger counter, like little black lights? Right. We used to have all those.
I don't think that has a Geiger counter.
I know, but it would beep like that, you know? All the dirty things, like the bedspreads.
I don't think that place. A Geiger counter in the bedroom because it's an earthquake detector.
Exactly.
That thing is not still there, Fanta Suites.
I don't think so.
I don't think it lasted but a second. People probably all had that same thought.
Right. You know, unless someone has been to a Fanta Suite, you could call us and tell us which theme you did.
Or if you've been to the Poconos and taken a bath in a
champagne glass. Now, that to me always looks slippery. That looks dangerous being in a glass tub that's in a champagne glass on stilts. How do you get in?
Wait, I don't think
How do you get out?
I get a Poconos.
Have you never seen a picture of the champagne glasses in the Poconos?
I'm looking up right now.
They're bathtubs.
Where's the Poconos again?
It's out in Arkansas.
I want to say it's
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania or
champagne
is it New York?
Tower?
Yeah, the Champagne Tower.
Okay,
the
I'm
Poconos.
Again, that place is like, you know, anytime.
Oh, wow, look at that.
Yeah.
Oh,
anytime that there's some place where like they've got heart-shaped beds.
Right.
They've got the mirrors on the ceiling. I mean, action Jackson is happening at that place.
I'm just Googling sex hotel rooms just to see if there's a theme.
Well, any hotel room can be a sex hotel room, but yeah, the specific themes.
There actually is on Thrillist the 13 kinkiest hotel rooms in the world. The Palms Casino and Resort.
Where's that, Palms?
Oh, yeah.
Palms?
Oh, no.
No, it's in Vegas.
It's in Vegas.
Off the strip.
Why is that kinky? Place?
Well, that one is on there because they're saying, what's naughtier than a night of debauchery in Sin City? High rollers can spend the night in the erotic suite at the Palms.
Which is the old Hefner suite where the Girls Next Door would be filmed. And it's got like a pool, an infinity pool, even though you're surrounded by glass. On the top floor.
That to me would be sexy.
You'd be able to be, you know,
that would be sexy to be able to be naked on the top floor of a hotel in an infinity pool.
And people, if they watch The Girls Next Door, you recognize it. So that in and of itself is sexy.
So it's 1,500 square foot. It's a rotating bed, round and shiny. And it's red beneath mirrored ceilings, like you talked about. Yep. And the shower features a stripper pole. And nightclub-inspired lighting. So there's a strobe light in the shower. Slippery when wet.
Yeah.
There's a big TV in case your fetish is pretending that you're a happily wed couple and wants to watch TV at night.
Pam and Tommy.
Uh-huh. That's why. The other ones, you know, Stuttgart, Germany. Yep, that place too.
Mm-hmm.
The V8 Hotel, their automobile-themed rooms.
Oh, Lord.
I know. And the rest of them are all over the world in places. The Standard in New York City, floor to ceiling glass, you know, up high.
Remember the bathroom?
Oh, yeah, we did.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no handle.
There's no handle.
It's just a mirror. You had to like, kind of like someone had to show you, you had to watch somebody come out. We're like, okay, I know. You know, we haven't been to New York City for 6 months, but this is ridiculous. What is going on with this bathroom?
Okay, here's one that's close to us. Don Q Inn in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. Where's Dodgeville?
It's
around the corner.
There's an actual Boeing C-97 for real in the hotel's premise, as well as 25 fantasy and theme rooms to cater to any fetish, including Roman quartz, Gemini space capsule, hot air balloon, a Viking ship. And a swingers room. The bed is actually suspended from the ceiling.
The astronaut sex from People Watching for All Mankind is probably...
It's sort of between Madison and Dubuque.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. It sounds dirty.
Like dirty good or dirty unclean?
Just dirty unclean. The Don Q Inn. Inns to me in general don't sound clean.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Does an inn, I-N-N, sound clean to you? I just don't feel clean.
Yeah. You know,
I'm... a five-star hotel girl?
Honey, I've got...
Darlene,
I've got a surprise for you.
We're just going to take a drive to Dodgeville, Wisconsin. I've reserved the Gemini space capsule for us for the weekend. we could stay two nights or just one, and we can move on to the Viking ship.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, Holly told me last week when we were talking, we somehow got onto, what are they, not woofies?
Furries.
Yeah, furries.
We love that, the furries.
No, but that particular kind of sex is called yiffing.
Yiff?
Yiffing.
Wow. Like yiff?
I don't know, maybe.
Like a yiff?
Yiffing is just what the term is.
Is it, maybe that's something to do with when fuzzy stuff gets caught in your butt crack.
Okay.
What?
Julia speaks from experience here.
Right. Yiff. No, the reason I'm making the yelping noise is because at Lori's second wedding, I was 6 months pregnant, and we shared a room with a sliding door that has magnets on it that would slat it shut. Lori's dear friend and boss.
She was my boss.
She was Lori's boss.
I had to invite her.
The bounty paper towel guy on the floor right next to us.
The brawny guy. I went to high school with him.
And he looked exactly like him. And all night long, she did yip, 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 yip.
And then he had a good bark.
Yeah. I mean, but I've never heard anyone express themselves in a yip. It was like a Yorkie was there all night, but she kept doing it.
How many times have you been in proximity with someone else having sex? I'm going to bet that's the one and only time.
I feel like there might have been a time in college when a roommate brought someone home.
Thank you. I would hope that you'd have one college incident.
Yeah.
You know, it's surprising the sounds that people make.
Yeah, it's not really a fun thing to overhear.
Well.
Not really. Not when you're alone and you're listening to someone else's.
And 6 months pregnant.
Oh, and wanting to sleep and exhausted.
Uh-huh.
Yep. As opposed to what's the furry thing? Yelfie?
Yiffing.
Yiff. We've learned new things here.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
Hey, Holly. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hello.
What
have
we got? Hello. Well, we've got some Tom Cruise stories to start this Dirt Alert off with today. And this is coming from Seth Rogen. So he has a new volume of essays out today. It's called Yearbook. And Seth Rogen is talking about the time that he and Judd Apatow had a bizarre encounter with Tom Cruise.
Ooh. Oh, tell us more.
So this happened all the way back in 2006. And Seth Rogen and Judd Apatow were called to Tom Cruise's L.A. mansion to discuss comedy.
What year is this again?
2006.
Okay.
And so this was right around when Knocked Up was happening. Mm-hmm. Judd Apatow, Seth Rogen, really hot. And so, of course, Tom Cruise is like, well, come to my house and we'll talk comedy.
And a year after Oprah.
Yes. Yeah, so
because that was 2005.
Yep.
Yeah, he's with Katie.
Yeah, so this is right at the center of all of that behavior. Okay. So Seth Rogen says that he sensed that something was weird as soon as he drove up and saw Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes and baby Suri waiting to greet him. He said that Katie Holmes had a vague, please rescue me from this place look on her face.
Lori saw it. Lori called it. Lori
Years
called
ago,
it.
I'm like, she's blinking, help me.
Lori called
with
it
her
so
eyes.
Far ahead of time.
Well, no, she had the rescue me face on for such a long time.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Well, so the story goes on. After Judd Apatow arrived, the three sat down and had a 4-hour long conversation about movies.
4 hours?
Boring. And no cocktails because he doesn't drink.
Oh, jeez.
So Seth Rogen says the conversation gently veered into the public perception of Tom Cruise. And Tom Cruise said, you know, speaking of jumping on the couch.
Mm-hmm.
Kissing Katie Holmes and proposing at the Eiffel Tower, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera. Tom Cruise explained to them that there's a coordinated effort to make it appear that way. Tom Cruise said, confidently, Seth Rogen says, quote, the pharmaceutical industry, because my exposure of their fraud has cost them so much money that they're desperate, they're scrambling, and they're doing everything they can to discredit me so I won't hurt sales anymore.
What is he talking about? What is wrong with him? Don't be glib, Matt.
Yeah, well, thank you,
yeah,
Julia.
Yeah, this is the time of the Brooke Shields thing, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that is right. So then Seth
Rogen... We have scary memories.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, this is gossip history.
Yes, yeah. It is.
These are the big moments in our careers. So Seth Rogen asked Tom Cruise, Big Pharma made you jump on Oprah's couch. Then Tom Cruise went on to explain that the footage on Oprah had been edited to, quote, make it look so much worse than it was. They do that all the time.
It's we a were live watching show. It live.
It was a live show.
Yeah. Oh, so he said that's the media.
Oh, boy. That is such a Scientology thing to say.
Oh, but wait, there's more, okay. You guys. So then Tom Cruise explaining to Seth Rogen and Judd Apatow, he's like, see, that's the media. They're distorting all of it. He said, take my religion, for example, Scientology. They make it seem so bleeping different than it is. If you just gave me like an hour to tell you about it, you'd be like, no bleeping way. That's what Scientology is. No bleeping way. In just 1 hour, Tom Cruise said, I could completely change your minds.
And obviously they declined his offer and thought, we've already had 4 hours of your movie meanderings.
So really he invited him over to pitch Scientology.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the selling point. Sit for 4 hours of movies. You don't even get a free breakfast bar and a chance to have a timeshare. You know, it's just, right. It is that the right. Long and slow
but
pitch.
He also knew he was afraid of what he did to his career because he'd been under the guidance of a Pat Kingsley 20 years. She made him helped create the movie star. And within, you know, 2 months of having his sister be the PR thing. This is probably what they told Tom Cruise to calm him down.
Yeah.
Because they got away from having a real, true Hollywood PR person.
Right. Well, and it's fascinating to hear, according to Seth Rogen, Tom Cruise's perception, particularly about the pharmaceutical industry, which his point of view is rooted in Scientology, but so specifically... much. Because, like Julia said, Tom Cruise appeared on the Today Show talking to Matt Lauer, specifically saying, you don't know the history of psychiatry, Matt.
Right.
And neither does he.
And neither does he, right.
Thank you.
But really,
wow, that's a good juicy story.
I wish more people would write about these stories.
But this is how Tom Cruise is. Like, he is so off the... I don't think he will ever...
He's not normal anymore. He's not normal. No, his thought process is too far gone.
Yeah.
It's been gone.
Return Shelley, not your Golden Globe Awards.
Yeah, no, he's too far gone.
Yeah. Well, one can assume that Tom Cruise probably isolates himself from people who are perhaps going to challenge some
of his
points.
Well, he moved out of L.A. and moved to St. Pete. You know what's interesting?
I love that Seth asked him, Big Pharma made you jump on Oprah's couch. Yeah. And then he said, oh, no, they manipulate that. Wow.
I really think it'd be fun if a lot of people... Now, this would be a good book. My meeting with Tom Cruise.
Yeah. And all the people could write about their own stories.
Yeah, all the celebrities are up-and-coming celebrities.
Now, the one bad thing that did happen to Tom Cruise, but because he didn't have a publicist helping him and he'd been in such capable hands for basically 20 years, was that when he jumped on that couch in 2005, it is right when the internet and YouTube is taking off.
Yep.
And it becomes the most YouTube thing that happens.
Right.
And that becomes the meme and everything. He was at the zeitgeist of that. And I would say it's karma for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh. Well, and Tom Cruise has another headline today that he's sticking to his position about scolding the crew of Mission Impossible 7. Remember when that happened at the end of last year?
He is really intent on making us think he's saving Hollywood, returning his Golden Globes. Speaking out about COVID.
Yep.
Right. So when asked about it, he told the UK movie magazine Empire v. the Los Angeles Times, he said, I said what I said. When asked about that, he said there was a lot at stake at that point, meaning the production of Mission Impossible 7. So, you know, you guys are right in your analysis, totally, where he thinks, Tom Cruise thinks that he is going to be saving Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw this last summer, too, when Tom Cruise was super hyped about getting back into the movie theater in London when he went through and made that hype video of himself walking through the movie theater to go sit down and watch Tenet.
Tenet is on HBO right now. Has anyone watched it?
I'm too
tired. I still haven't.
Rocco, do you still have my video?
I gave it back to you, remember?
Yeah.
It came
you
with
would
the,
not like this movie. I'm going to go out
Did
on
Did you
a
watch
limb.
It, Lori?
No, I'm going to go out on a limb and based on people I know who love these kinds of movies, they had a hard time with it.
That's what I've heard too.
Yeah. Right.
Too many confusing twists.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For its own sake, a little self-indulgent.
All right.
But it's on HBO Max if you want to indulge in that. Moving on to a story that you guys talked about in the Hollywood speak portion of today's program, but we've got a little bit of an update. Page Six reporting that Real Housewives of Atlanta star Portia Williams has landed a 3-part Bravo special about her life.
Ah!
There you go.
So
why not get engaged to someone you barely know? That's good.
Oh, I think she's really engaged. I think that they're going to, I mean, Portia got a New York Times profile. She really kind of came into her own as far as like being a housewife to really, outside of Bethany Frankel with her Be Strong, really be a voice for movement of change.
All right.
So,
well, Portia Williams, yes, she just announced her engagement to her former co-star's estranged husband.
So that's messy. She's always had a messy personal
life.
That
is messy.
Mm-hmm. That is very messy, very stressful. Now, a source tells Page Six about Portia's deal that this was greenlit months ago, so it has nothing to do with this engagement news this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And the special is supposed to focus on Portia, her activism, and her family.
All right.
Cool.
Yeah, cool. So that's happening.
I don't know if I believe that all the way, but, you know.
We'll take it. And finally, a little love news from Bachelor Nation. Former Bachelorette Caitlin Bristow and ex-Bachelorette contestant Jason Tartick are engaged. So
I don't know who either are.
I don't know either, Julia.
Caitlin, you'd recognize.
I would.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, Holly.
This is the study of duh with noted academic journal skimmer, Lori.
Everybody knows. Yeah, everyone knows that, duh.
Oh, but we really have a duh doozy today.
Do we?
Well, I think it's the least surprising study, maybe.
Okay.
Of the year.
Oh, all right. Let's be the judge of that, Rocco.
Okay. I just not sure that we needed science to tell us this. This is a study out of the UK.
Okay.
They wanted to see if there's a connection between kinky sex and drugs.
Yes.
Yes, Julia. Duh. Yes, yes, duh. Yes, yes.
The more out of body.
Kinky sex and drugs.
Well, yes. Think of it. The more out of body, the more you're willing to try different things.
Sex, I mean, drugs, and rock and roll.
Right. Could have wrote this study.
Jeez.
Why didn't they ask you?
I don't know. I mean, I'm just like, this is, and then this is not a surprise. This is not anything. But yeah, I can't believe it that.
Someone paid for this.
Well, I mean, they did want to look at quote unquote non-traditional sex activities like bondage. They also put non-traditional sex activity as a one night stand, which, you know, that took me aback. I don't think of that as non-traditional in any way, shape, or form. I mean, whatever. But what they called
it. That's really classic. Yeah. So a one-night stand is a non-traditional form of
sexual activity. And apparently
these people didn't live in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, apparently, you know. So anyway, I don't know why we needed science to tell us. But anyway, there you go. Now you know. And that's why a lot of people do their experimenting, you know, with drugs at a younger age. Julia, too. You know, that's the other.
You're more willing
part of
to try
study.
Different things. That's right. Yeah, you are. Mm-hmm. And you're more.
Lay a base for everything, okay? That's my advice.
Please, on every graduation card,
I go, you're going off to college.
Lay a
before
base.
Before you go out to have a party, I don't care what time of the day you're
lay
going.
Lay a base.
Lay a base. Eat a good, strong, healthy breakfast, lunch, or dinner. You just got to do it. Otherwise, you know, rookie mistake.
I would agree, Lori.
You're going to get sick, and you're going to get sick, and you're never going
to
drink that liquor again.
And you forget the rules as you age, too.
Okay. Now, here is another study of duh.
Okay.
2 in 3 people may now have hand dermatitis due to overwashing during COVID, and even worse, among healthcare professionals. This is not surprising to anybody, is it?
No.
Who would wash their hands more than the healthcare professionals in the time of COVID? Because we are washing our hands more.
Right.
Except for, you know.
I'm not washing them for as long as I was.
Some of the
anymore.
Guys.
My hands were raw when we were really all in washing it 30 times a day, 20 seconds each.
Right.
Remember? I mean, our hands were all like dry and raw.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's not.
Not really a thing.
And dermatitis is just like a psoriasis or dry skin, itchy dry skin from putting too many chemicals on them. All right.
And watch what cream you put on it because you might not be able to run in the Preakness.
You're right.
That's right.
It might have a steroid.
Hand
Which,
eczema.
By the way, a lot of these creams do have a steroid in it.
Yes, they do. Like, that's the whole point.
That's the whole point, to take down the inflammation. All right.
Okay. Now here.
Look at this. We're solving.
Here's another study of dye. Okay. Popular kids more likely to be older and born around the start of the school year. This is from the Netherlands. This is from research. And they wanted to see what separates the popular kids from their friends at school. For whatever reason, children likely to be born at the beginning of the academic year, making them older than their peers, and older kids are more likely to
excel in sports, excel in academia, get their driver's license first, be wiser.
That's funny, because my kid has a, you know, late August birthday, but that makes him the youngest.
Well, same with me. But I have my firstborn, you know, I'm on August 24th, and I'm the youngest in my class always. But my boy, who was born on my birthday a month early, was teeny, so I didn't let him go that first year.
So he was older.
So he was an older kid. So he started kindergarten when he was six.
Yeah, kids born in September, October, and November are substantially more well-liked than peers born in the following year. And Dutch students say older kids, regardless of when they're born, tend to rise in popularity. But other studies said, you know, what's more important is likability. Not more important than status.
Right.
So.
Right.
Actually, that people who have teenagers who have just a lot of acquaintances maybe have more social anxiety than even if they just have at least one good friend, which is why it's always so devastating. If you have one good friend and they break up, this is Cruel Summer on Freeform.
Oh, is this? Okay. We're going back to the CW or the Freeform.
Freeform. Okay. But I mean, that's
Lori's in high school.
Yeah. Yeah.
I quit that one, Laura.
You did?
Oh, right away. I didn't even start.
Oh, Julia.
Lori.
Your appetite for teenage shows is pathetic.
It really, I have to admit, it's not even close to yours. It's not even close.
It isn't. Mm-mm. Okay, here's another study. Feeling younger is superpower for fighting stress, actually slows effects of aging. So you've heard the expression, you're only as old as you feel?
Right.
A new study finds that is actually true. Researchers in Germany report older adults who say they feel younger than their actual age show less signs of stress-related aging than their peers.
I believe this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, haven't we all agreed we're in our late 30s?
Yeah.
I'm 36.
Sometimes people
27,
will.
27, depending on the day.
I have one friend who always refers to her. Well, first of all, she tries to drag me into her collective. We are old.
Oh, and I always, you hate that.
I always shut her down. I'm like, okay, speak for yourself.
Right.
If this, and, you know, and it leads it in a litany. And then I think, and she acts old.
Well, there you go. Because I don't mind admitting my age, but I don't act old. I don't feel my age.
But the thing is, it's just that people are very number ages.
Yes, they are. There are ages people. When I say I'm 82, people, you know, are taken aback.
Right. So anyway, it's kind of that attitude about it. And the more
does
that
she
people,
act old?
Because she's always bringing up her age, our age, as she always likes to say, or this.
Way to throw me in the pile.
You know, but
I just turned 21.
It stress is her. I feel like it stresses her. I've pointed it out to her. I've also said I'm going to hang up on you if you refer to yourself or me or anyone we know as old again. You know,
we're older, but not old.
You know, but anyway, they're saying that, if you feel. You feel as young as you feel,
I mean,
or as old as you feel.
Because you're our oldest teenager on staff.
Rocco,
what age do you kind of feel like you are?
My body, I feel about 60. But
don't
I feel,
do the body.
I feel like I'm 33, right?
33, okay. I think that's a good age. You know, I waver between late 20s and late 30s.
Yeah, no, I never think of myself as being in my late 20s.
I'm really
that
not.
Was such a turmoil. It's such a time of turmoil. Do I want to be married? Oops, I am married.
Oh, you had that.
Do I want to be married? Oops, I am married.
Yeah, early 30s.
You know, I like my, I would say that 36 when you officially become a sex
That's
symbol,
when you met Casey.
Everything comes together. Mm-hmm. No, I actually met Casey years after that.
Oh, you did? You were 38? Really? I didn't know that. I was thinking you were 36. Yeah, things do come together in the 30s.
Yes, uh-huh. In a very nice way.
In a very nice way.
And then the zero Fs to give start coming in.
Depending on where you are in your life.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
More and more. And more mm-hmm. and more. It's very and liberating. More and more. So anyway, right. their findings, the group, how old do you feel, has a big say in
how
you fight stress, and it slows the effects of aging. If you sit and tell yourself you're old or you feel old or you're this and that, you're stressing yourself out and you're making yourself older as you speak. So knock it out.
Say positive things to yourself.
Well, you know, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all, there even if go. It's about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you don't have anything to nice, come and pull up a seat and sit down next to me.
R.I.P. R.I.P. Olympia Dukakis, right?
That's right. I think so. All right. And my last study of dog owners are admitting their pets have a better social life than they do.
That's funny.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny.
Over half of people say their pet has more friends than they do. And this is a survey of 2,000 dog owners.
That's funny.
And during quarantine,
I think the dogs had a good life. 85%
of people were worried that their pups weren't getting enough socialization with other pups.
Did they quit going to the dog park?
Maybe, but then they turn around and admit that they did see their dog friends more.
Yeah.
Often, because that was something you could do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Walk outside.
Yes, and dogs also in the survey, this seems like a duh. The dogs that walked in on Zoom calls were the highlight of anybody that was on that Zoom.
Yeah.
That was like an unexpected Zoom highlight.
Or a cat or something. Yeah. But something unexpected.
Yeah, the animals.
I like that.
All right, listen, we come back. We're going to get to the rest of the stories, maybe.
All right, so tonight there's a new on Netflix, it's the series premiere of Money Explained, and it's part of this Explained series that's on Netflix. I haven't watched any of them before, but it's about explaining what we do with our money, and it's 5 parts, and it has a guide to what we do with our money, and it has celebrity hosts guiding us through it. So Tiffany Haddish is tonight, Bobby Cannavale, Edie Falco, Jane Lynch, and Marsha Gay Harden. But what tonight's is it's like, should you stream it or should you skip it? They're 22-minute episodes, but what they're going to give you, it's about tonight's episode about a get-rich schemes, you know. Why did they start? What's a pyramid? What's a Ponzi? What's a this? So it's just kind of informative, and they use cartoon graphics to explain everything, and you get a very good overview on what scams look like. It's just going to make you wiser, you know? And so they're 22 minutes, and they're supposed to be pretty good.
All right.
So tonight it's Tiffany Haddish is hosting that. It's called Money Explained. And then the other big thing that I don't know if you guys saw this in the news, because it was just a little ticker line across the bottom today, but the Firefly Festival will return in September.
The lineup.
Remember
the Firefly? What's the Firefly?
I was thinking it was the fire.
The Fry Festival?
Yeah, I thought it was the Fry. But again, my reading has got me in a little trouble here. But the Firefly Festival is going to return in September. That Billie Eilish, The Killers, Tame Impala, Lizzo, Megan Thee Stallion. If anyone's going to that or even knows where it was.
I never heard of the Firefly Festival.
Lori, it's
too close to the Fry Festival.
That's what
Fire
I thought
Festival.
It was. And that's what I thought it was. And that's why I thought it was interesting that they were even doing it again.
Right.
But au contraire.
Now they're trying to call it the Fire Festival. And where is
it? I am going to have to up my Wheaties. I don't know, Laura. That's something people are going to have to do their own research on.
Okay. It sounds to me like a new festival. I can honestly say I've never heard of the Firefly.
But it says it will return. I'm going to say, where is the Firefly? Where? Not why. Gosh, sorry, people.
Yeah, I can't.
Never heard of it.
Google, because I was just writing down the info for Julie, who won the
pink
ticket.
Did she win? Was she excited?
The pink screening, yes.
Okay, so the Firefly Festival is it's in Dover International Speedway.
Oh, Delaware?
Yeah, Dover, Delaware.
Oh, at the Speedway?
Yes, it's the Killers. It's got a lot of people. Now could this be a new festival?
It could be.
Looks kind of good.
It doesn't look like it's the first year. It looks like it's a festival that's happened.
Right.
We just didn't know about it.
No,
AEG presents it. They purchased the Firefly. It used to be a smaller one. They bought it.
Okay, 120 bands across 7 stages.
Yeah, that's always pretty much the way it is. How big is it? That kind of looks good.
It kind of looks good. Well, there was just a little inside scoop on nothing that I knew about because I thought it was something completely different. I love it when the stories you're so excited about. Talking about, I'm like, hey, Mr. Carter, let me get this in before our show ends because this is exciting, and it's nothing.
That was one of my favorite phrases I think you've ever said. That was just another inside information about something I know about that I got everything wrong about or something like that.
Just the story of my life.
It's good.
That's the story of me.
And I will tell you this, you cannot sleep in your car at the Firefly Festival.
You'll get ticketed.
You can't do it. Yeah.
You can't do it.
Yeah, that's an asked question.
Oh, right. It's most common.
Okay. Yeah. Can I sleep in my car?
No sleeping. Okay, Whoopi Goldberg, did anyone watch The View today? Did she fall asleep on the air?
What?
It says today the headline is Whoopi Goldberg falls asleep on The View. As co-hosts gush over the Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez reunion, they go back to Whoopi and she was just getting in a quick nap.
She had nothing to say.
I have a picture of her. She's literally sleeping. After she slightly snored, co-host Meghan McCain gently got her attention while Sarah continued to rave about Ben and Jen in love. Whoopi jolted awake and pretended she was paying massive attention to this while handing the topic over to Joy Behar. She hilariously said, I'm just going to rest my eyes while you talk about this.
Sometimes, hey, can I ask you, how is that Girls 5 Eva?
I did watch one.
It was funny. It's funny.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah.
You know, I thought Tina Fey was a writer, and I think she was maybe just a producer, but it's got that sort of rapid fire.
Yes, it does.
What was that Netflix show about the girl who lived in the bunker?
Tina.
Kimmy Schmidt.
Yes, has that sort of energy to it where there's like a joke, you know, every sentence pretty much.
Right.
It's funny.
I thought so too.
It looks good.
But Peacock is a place now, you know, you have to get used to going back there.
Yeah, I use the Peacock app on my Roku.
Oh, God. Listen to how we even say that.
I know. It's crazy.
The Peacock app on my Roku that plugged into my LG 5, which is not supported by HBO Max, by the way, because it's a Samsung product. And I do know that's the truth.
Right.
LG is a Samsung product TV that doesn't support HBO Max app. In case anyone wants to know, but if you have the Amazon Fire Stick or the Roku, you can watch it. No, but Lori, this is seriously Lori's the crap I have to put in my brain. People think they're smarter as a result of this pandemic. What do you guys think?
No, they're not.
No, this is a survey. No. People, 89% of people think they're smarter.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you think you are, but you're really not. We've just been humbled, humiliated, and we will be better people for it.
We will?
Yeah.
You promise?
Yeah, I think so. I think so, but...
That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, and then the Roaring Twenties, so let the festivals begin.
They are starting June 1st.
Yeah, let the music begin.
Have a great night, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll be back tomorrow.
Job done. Off you go.